Alison Miller, welcome to Galway Bay FM. Welcome to the International Women's Day feature on women in sport. So we're going to talk rugby. How are things?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Great. All good here. Lots of rugby. It's coming at me in waves, which is good, is a good place to be. You played for Connacht, you played for Ireland, and now you're coming to work for Connacht. So let's start with that. What's the story there? How did that come about?
I suppose Emer got in touch. He
Hard
wants.
woman to refuse, Emer.
Yeah, really, she is, in fairness. Just asked me to think about it, and I had a little think, and then I, to be honest, I didn't really think about it too much. And then I suppose she was like, "Hey, what's your answer?" And then I said, "Look, yeah, of course I'll come in and help." So yeah, looking forward to the season ahead. We've already had one or two sessions, just kind of meetups and stuff. So yeah, it'd be good squad there, and very exciting young players coming up as well.
And what part of the team are you working with? Because I know Gavin Duffy's come in as well, and Emer has come in as head coach.
Yeah, so kind of myself, Gavin, kind of looking after the backs between us, and looking at, I suppose, some attack. But I think we're probably have to iron out, where we're putting the most of our effort into still. But because it's I suppose it's a long way off yet in terms of getting the girls, match ready, and that there's a lot to do before then. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, we covered all four of their matches last season. Seemed to spend a
Yeah.
lot of time going up and down to Cork.
Yes.
But look, the win over Leinster was a fantastic day at the sports ground, and you can see the progress that's there, and it's great to see players coming through. We've talked in the past, Ali, where things weren't so good with women's rugby, but you get the feeling now that it is, and I'm talking about the organisation, and we all know where that leads back to was the famous day at that game against Leinster with all the problems with changing rooms and nonsense
Yeah,
stuff.
yeah.
But that's are we are is the progress? Can you see it now from where you are that it's moving forward?
Yeah, there's definitely progress in terms of the women's game. And I suppose the thing is, you have to kind of accept where you've come and how much it's improved, and actually acknowledge that. But at the same time, you're always striving to push for more, and that's the way it's always going to be. With women's sports, or just in general, and women in society, whether that be the workforce or areas where women aren't represented, you do have to acknowledge the great work, and but you can't just be happy to stop there. You have to keep pushing forward, and that's how teams get better, and we get better results, and a better setup, and that's just the way it has to be. So it's not that you're not appreciative of the work that's going on. You just got to strive for more all the time.
Absolutely. I suppose it's the old story. If you don't ask, you won't get. So
Oh yeah.
keep asking and keep pushing like hell.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And that's the way it has to be. You can't sit around being too nice sometimes, or that doesn't work. So yeah, look, exciting times in the women's game, and look, hopefully just with the increased participation all over the country. And I was in a school in Laois today, and like compared to say 7 8 years ago, there was a lot more girls in that school playing rugby than there would have been 8 years ago. So that just goes to show, when you go into schools now, or there is more girls playing, and it's becoming more normalized, which is really a good sign. And that's where when you start to see progress, and that's the more girls we can be have playing at an underage level, there's going to be more chance then of success at provincial and national level for teams. And I think it's really, really important to I suppose acknowledge the great work of the volunteers that do that, because even in every aspect of the game, we need the volunteers out there at grassroots, producing who become, professionals. So like, they do such a good job, and we really need them, and we really appreciate them. So they're a vital cog in the whole machine, really.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I notice more interest in women's sport, I notice more coverage of it. And I suppose that drives on. It brings younger girls in because they see it. But there's also a slight issue that there, and it's been pushed quite hard now, is to keep girls playing sport, that there is a drop-off level. Have you encountered that, and do you think that needs special attention, that people who are girls that maybe play for a certain amount of time, then they get into their teens and they drop off. Boys drop off as well. It's the same thing,
Yeah, and there'll always be the boys that drop off, but just the girls drop off to a bigger
bigger
extent.
extreme.
Yeah, I suppose there's kind of a lot of factors in that, really. And I suppose Sports Council in Ireland and whatever their official title is, I don't know, but they've gone through the reasons for it. But obviously, if you see that was the whole campaign. If you can't see, you can't be it. But you actually have to have attractive opportunities for girls. Like, even if you're just playing, local Gaelic football in your club, you need to know as a girl that you're going to have a change room. Basic, like really basic stuff, like a change room,
I know.
somewhere to go in and get changed, somewhere to get changed. Do you have, you're not on the back mucky pitch with no lights, like just simple stuff. Suppose the girls feel valued, and that's really important. They're the basic issues. And then in terms of, if you're a more ambitious girl and you really want to go and succeed, you see the success of the Irish soccer team, which blew up then. Hundreds of girls wanted to play soccer, so success plays an important part of that then, and getting girls to stay in sport and have it on the TV and stuff. And also, I always say to girls, look, the boys don't stop playing. Maybe there's a certain being there for a long time where women are expected to grow up, the way, like, and have kids and stuff, which is, you have time to do that as well. But like, talking about young girls here that aren't getting past the age of 15 maybe or 16, yeah, like that is an issue. And like, I don't know what it is, because you look at, I have a 2.5-year-old girl, and like anyone will tell you, they run around, they're sprinting around, they're full of go, and then at some point at like 15, 16, you'll see it in PE. I'm a PE teacher, the girls just don't want to move anymore. Like, when does that happen, and when does that enter their brain? Because they were always moving and they never had a problem. And then, I suppose society's norms and what we expect of women maybe don't help, those old views and Instagram, and I don't know, maybe the expectations of women to look good all the time, and maybe young girls don't see that as marrying well with sport. I don't know. I'm just hypothesizing there, So there's a lot of issues that have to be broken down. And
And I suppose that has to be led by maybe coaches and mentors, but also to get maybe girls who've turned into young women and they're still playing sport, and they have to say, look, this is the advantages of it. It's the team,
yeah.
it's the teamwork and the team spirit, and the word
And
that's off
confidence, like
confidence.
especially for girls, like your confidence in yourself more than just relying on, looks. Like, you have huge confidence to be able to connect with people and, have your say and be assertive and get your exercise in and make friends and all those things that sports brings. So yeah, definitely.
And I suppose maybe a word that's lost a bit is have some fun. It is
Oh
fun.
yeah, it's all about fun.
Sport can be, look, it can break your heart, but you can also give you some of the best days that you'll ever have. It's the, it's up and down, and you learn from it as well.
Yeah, like, you gotta learn. And I think the reality of life is, you gotta kids and teenagers need to learn that like the biggest thing you'll ever hear in school is, teacher, that's not fair. And I'll turn around and go, well, life isn't fair. You gotta learn that quicker. No point me telling you life is equal and fair, it's not. You gotta not, use that as an excuse, and you gotta get used to, not getting your way, or in sport, losing, or train really hard and still not getting the results, but maybe the next year you get the results, or you win a lose. And like, it's very important, and there's loads of transferable skills that you learn in sport that you can take in later in life, in your job, or working with people, whatever it is. And it's definitely great for young people. And they do talk about that now, trying to build our young people's resilience, because that does seem to be an issue. So sport certainly does that in heaps.
And do you think it helps to teach you maybe to, I suppose the obvious things are teamwork, or just how to, to how to get on with, if there's 25 of you on a panel, and you might not love every single one of them, but you have to find a way to get on with them. and learn about them, maybe ask the right questions and see, okay, I didn't understand that about person A.
Yeah,
And
100%. Yeah, like because if you want a team to succeed and click, you need to get on. You don't have to be best friends. You don't have to hang around with each other off the pitch or whatever it is. But you need to connect, and ultimately, like, respect is one of the big values of rugby. But you got to respect each other enough and understand each other. And like I was, I might have played with very quiet or shy people, and you got to understand that they needed their own time. They needed their space away from training to be able to go again. And certain people react in certain ways, and like you gotta everyone, I suppose we all need to do this in life, is kind of realize we're not perfect and that someone else isn't perfect. We all have our flaws, and if we can recognize them and come together and get used to people, because sometimes kids in school will say, "Oh, I don't like that person, miss," or whatever, and I'm like, that's okay, but you're going to work with someone you don't like in 10 years' time, and you're going to have to navigate that. So yeah, teamwork is definitely really important. I think, yeah, it's definitely an advantage for people that play sports, especially team sports, because they're having to maybe, especially in rugby, maybe the 12 and 13 have completely different personalities on the squad, and they have to navigate that and get on for the good of the team. So it's definitely a place which kind of mirrors maybe, work related environment some way, and I suppose you're spending a lot of time. So yeah, it's a really good advantage of that.
And the other thing is, I suppose, to try to keep, we've discussed making it fun, but to keep girls and boys, but it's definitely more girls drop out. The figures are there. Do you think you have to alter the way that you coach? I'm always fascinated. There's a lot of men coaching in women's sports. Would it be better if you had more women coaching? Would you be able to come at it a different way and communicate in a way that might be able to pull the reluctant person through? I'm just
It's an
interested in
interesting
that.
one, because like I never felt I had to be coach anyway. Like I used to have men coach come take it, like, how should I treat them? And I was like, exactly the same as you coach men, but I don't know if I'm right in that, but that's just me personally. And then I would have some male friends that just can't coach women. I'm like, why? Like, what are you talking about? So maybe like, and then like, Dr. Orla Farmer has done great work down in UCC about getting girls active, and she's found like a lot of girls. She did a GA program where they kind of, I think they had a dance within, they learned the dance to go. Was it Galway Girl? I think it was Galway Girl. And they kind of learned this dance routine through Gaelic football, and she found that it was really important for girls to enjoy it and have friends, and they were the things that kept them back. Now, can you say that about every girl? No, like I was a competitive young girl playing every sport, going, and I wanted to win and I wanted to be good. And yes, I had friends from it, but like that maybe the dancing and stuff might have turned me off. You know what I mean? A
I
bit more
understand.
than maybe. So like I think girls like boys will be different. You and I think it's giving females and girls the opportunity to experience sport whatever they want, So like maybe for some girls they like to go down to the local club, and it's about enjoyment, and it should always be about enjoyment anyway. And we've said that even at a professional level, you gotta enjoy it to train well and to push your body to the limit. But like you've opportunities for girls where they can come in, and then also have opportunities for the girls that just want to go in there and get the job done. Yes, and they are friends off the pitch and everything, but they want to be taken seriously. So I don't really know. I think just different. Like I've had great male coaches that say they love coaching women. I've had male coaches saying they don't like coaching women. When I coach people, especially like maybe at a senior level, I'll be hard on them. Like I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'll expect. So I think there's different times for that. Like if you're coaching young girls, under 12 and something, like I would be able to see maybe might be a confidence issue here with some child, or something, whatever it is, and you'd be able to connect. But I think it's just having the opportunities that they can experience sport whatever way they want, or exercise whatever way they want. Like I would say to the kids in school, like you don't even have to be sporty, you just need to get your hour of physical activity every day, whether that's going roller skating, going for a walk, dancing in your room. You just got to get the hour of physical activity, and whatever shape or form that comes in, that's important. So it could be the arena of competitive sports for some girls. It could be, I remember when we were in school, the teacher used to run a social basketball team who would come down and train, and you know, they just liked to train, and they didn't play any matches against anyone. It was just a social thing that could come down every Wednesday to play basketball. So things like that are important as well, that you're kind of providing the level of competitiveness or seriousness relative to the people's desires or interests, which I think is important. So I didn't really answer your question, but oh, definitely having more female coaches helps, and or having female coaches within the setup, because I know sometimes it is important so they can see it and that they feel a little bit more connected to you as a female, and especially if you're female, you're a female and you've gone and done it, and they've said, oh, she's done it, so why can't I? And then, you know, that works in a lot of ways in sport, even just individually or whatever. So I think it is important. And there's probably, it's funny, I was helping a local GA team in my area there recently. They can't find a coach. So, you know, a lot of the people are saying, what about him? What about him? And I said, why are you not contacting? I said, the women that are 45, 50 that have all played for this club. Why not? And they didn't really think about it. You know, and I was like, sure, they'd have wealth of experience. They're well able to coach. Why not? So I think there's probably, I think it's, there's been found in studies that I think women aren't as confident to go coaching as men, which is ridiculous, because sometimes there'll be brilliant men coaches, but then there's male coaches that aren't brilliant, but they whatever reason are confident and the women aren't. Yeah, look, of course it's important to have it, but I think sometimes it really doesn't matter if, whether it's a man or a woman. Obviously in female sport, I think it's really, you need to have a female there for obvious reasons.
Yes.
You know, like, just for, you know, you have to. And I think that's important. But, like, you can have a fantastic male coach that the girls will love and he'll be understanding. And, you know, so I like, it's like that. I think just the right person for the job is the right person for the job a lot of the time, you know.
It's interesting. I've spoken to, he's a Connacht player. He's done some coaching with women's rugby. And he said the first thing that he learned was, women ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And he said, you need to have the answer, because he said, if they don't get the answer and they don't understand it, he said, they'll just ask you again and again. And he said, you can't get away with bluffing, because yeah, they're looking to fill this education gap.
Yes.
In their sport. Whereas he said, with lads, he said, half of them are trying to look at their phone and some of the other guys are going, he doesn't know anything anyway.
Yes.
But he said, with women, he said, basically, he said, there was no room for BS. He said, I had to have my facts, or if I didn't know the answer, I had to say, right, I'll check that and I'll be back next week with another thing. And I thought that was fascinating, because I know what lads do and I know how they handle things. And it's a kind of, yeah, what does he know?
Yeah.
Even if he's a good player, they're going,
yeah,
right. But he said that was a real surprise to him, and he thought it was great. He said it was a real, yeah, okay, I'm going to have to get on top of this role now. That's what I have to do.
Yeah, like, I suppose it's always good to be challenged as a coach, and coaches will talk about it, to be good to be challenged. So, yeah, and I've actually heard other men say that to me before, that women will want to know, and where I suppose maybe it is that, you know, women are taking it up a little bit. That won't be the case forever, because women are getting into it younger and younger. But at the moment, probably they're taking it up later. So yeah, they're trying to close that gap of maybe what they feel they hadn't learned as a youngster, and what they feel they need to try and fit in that time that they weren't playing or whatever. But like, I have to say, like, when I'm coaching girls or boys now, like, these are the girls and boys that have been playing since they're young. I don't really notice a whole lot of difference between them when I'm coaching them. Like, they'll just train, they'll listen to you. So, yeah, like, it's interesting. Like, they'll just, and I've had loads of lads on the honor ask me questions as well. Like, why, you know, like, so I suppose, yeah, probably on a whole, but you will have your boys and girls that will act the same either side. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. I think, I suppose you always got to look at the individual, you know, whatever way they're, you know, acting, and, you know, what way they like to be treated and how they learn is the really most important thing. Like, how are they learning, and how are you going to get the message across in the best possible way? Because, as I said, everyone's going to learn different, soak things up or perceive things to be.
Talking about women who've reached the high levels started off, I suppose, as junior rugby players. Now, the Six Nations coming up, Connacht have good representation in this initial panel. The Sevens team, Aoife Riley and Bevan Parsons, are back to play in the Six Nations, which I think is great.
Yes, it is, yeah.
We've got Maeve Dealey, we've got Nicole Foley. Of course, Adele McMahon is the co-captain. Adele was Connacht
Yes.
through and through, played for the university here. Maeve Dealey. The thing about it is, Ali, we've got people back from Sevens in Aoife Riley and Bevan Parsons, and they've gone and won something, which again, that must bring, they can bring that with them, whether it's a mentality or an expectation. They've actually gone and done it. I know it's a different form of the game,
Yeah.
but winners are great people to breed winners around them.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully that is the case because I think we do need a big lift after last year. And they didn't play last year, and they're exactly kind of what the team needs, a little bit of cutting edge, people that can beat people that, with Aving with her delivery, but also her feet and Bave and just having that ability to beat people one on one. So I think that's exactly what the team needed last year. And I'm sure they'll be delighted to be playing. They mightn't have foreseen it coming considering it's the Olympic year. But yeah, like it'd be great to have them. And look, they have a new coach and things are fresh. So they'll be looking, all the players on the squad will be looking to impress and put their best foot forward to be selected and try and keep selection after week one or whatever it is. So and hopefully like another year of professionalism. Like we were playing a lot of catch up last year. So hopefully, it'll be positive. There's no reason why the team shouldn't be succeeding at a better level than it was. So I think it's just hopefully it comes together for the girls and that they get things in order. Obviously, there was a lot of negativity last year, which never helps. I think it's now or never. They gotta, be real tight as a group and work really hard and. As one coach used to always say to me, it's a short time at the top, you got to make the best of it, work as hard as you can. And when you retire, then you won't, don't have any regrets because you've given everything, which is hopefully what the group are going to do is just come together and perform and be the best they can be. And if they can be the best they can be, who knows where that will going to take them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. They have three home games and they're moving the games around. They're playing, there's one game in Cork and there's one game in the RDS and there's one game in Belfast, which I think is a great idea. And hopefully, with the Dexcom Stadium here, is fully finished. It's,
Yeah, it's
the,
definitely, yeah.
yeah,
It'll be a lovely pitch for the girls to play on. It'll be so quick.
absolutely. And you'd want to fill the ground. And I hope in the under 20s get there as well for the boys. And look, it's getting there. The pitch is down, the lights are up, the diggers are in case you haven't heard, folks.
Yeah,
They have started digging at the Dexcom Stadium. Everything will take a process, but I think it's very good that they're on the move, and I hope they get the performances at home. I think England and France away are very difficult games. They are top sides. England could probably pick four sides that could win the Six Nations out of the number of players they have. But the coach, Scott Beaman, the coach, has come from the England setup. I've heard good things about him from some players. They've said to me that
yes.
they feel that he started, coaches come in and they say, I'm starting with a clean slate.
Yeah.
But you're never 100% sure as a player what that really means at any level.
Ah, yeah.
But apparently he has come in and he said, right, show me what you can do.
I think it's good that he has coached England because he's coached the very best. So he knows his expectation for what is the best has come from a team that was the best. So I think that's good. He's not going to accept low par training or results or whatever it is. I think it's great to have that. And the girls will know that too. So and it's good that he has come in. I think every coach will say that whether they do it or not is another thing. But as you said there, you've heard that he seems to be doing that. So that's a good thing.